J.R. Packer said this, speaking about community and fellowship, we should not think of our fellowship with other Christians as a spiritual luxury, an optional addition to the extras of private devotions. Fellowship is one of the greatest words in the New Testament. It denotes something that is vital to a Christian's spiritual health and central to the church's true life. The church will flourish and Christians will be strong when there is fellowship. Why do a series about the irresistible community? Is because we want the church to flourish and we want Christians to be strong so that the nations and the world around us can be impacted. Honestly, I said it this morning more than once, I want to change the world. I really do. This gospel, I remember getting saved and going, God, it can't be this good. It can't be this good. The blood that washes, it can't be. I've got to do stuff. And then I read the Bible and it says, you can do nothing. And I go, but God, it can't be that good. Surely nothing's that good without a little terms and conditions at the bottom. But he's calling his church to embrace. He's calling us to grow up, to become strong. He's calling his church to flourish so that the world around us is impacted, transformed for the glory of God. The Irresistible Community is a series about a community that is irresistible to God, where he wants to dwell, not where he takes a summer vacation. Oh, I'm going to go to Life Changes. Some, I'm just going to visit them, and then I'm going to go somewhere else. No, a people where God dwells. It's what Ephesians tells us. It's the promise of the gospel. He would dwell, and as he dwells, he builds us up to a house. It's irresistible to the believers. We want to do life together. We want to get our hands dirty in lives together and transform the city around us. We want to do those things together. I remember being young and passionate in a church called Glenridge in Durban, and I wanted to be there. It was like if I missed out, I was so bummed because I felt like I was missing out on something. I want to do that. It's not, you can't manufacture that. And coffee's not going to do that, as much as we love giving good coffees away. And lights aren't going to do that, and buildings aren't going to do that. It's when the electricity of the Spirit of God is in our midst, people want to be there. Because it's God, and it's real, and it's authentic. It's the most authentic thing this world will ever, ever, ever know. And then it'll be irresistible to the unbeliever. Acts 2:47, and God added to their number daily. Not because of the clever schemes of man, not because great church builders, not because of any of that, because God was at the center. And we started off the series in the morning. I want to show you the picture again because I'm a picture guy. I remember things. Who remembers the table? That table is nothing if there's no feast on top. It's just a table. But at that table there can be healing and wholeness because the feast is Jesus. I know there should have been a feast on there, at least a roast chicken or something. I apologize. It was a last minute photo. But I've seen people healed and made whole around that table because there were feasts brought together. The feast of the church, the feast of the believers is Jesus. He's the feast. We get to feast on him. Communion is a feast. You know that? There's more feasting in the Bible than fasting. We must fast and beat ourselves down because the Bible says I must fast. But when I read the Bible, there's a whole lot more feasts than fasts. Because God is incredibly good. And he says, actually, I broke my body so you can live in the generosity of the love of God. And it changes everything. And it keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. And nothing I can do can stop that tap from pouring out over my life. Nothing. Okay, I really got to get to some sort of notes here because I don't know where I am. I want to tell you about the goodness of God over my life this week. I've had an amazing week. I really, really. I've had a busy week. I've had a long week. I had the privilege of doing JP and Megan Peterson's wedding yesterday, the Springbok rugby player. I got to sit with him for 2.5 hours on Thursday and tell him about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, but I'll do your wedding, but I'm not going to tell you how to do a wedding well, a marriage well. Because many people can write books about how to do a marriage, but without Jesus at the center and Jesus at the model, it's nothing. And he's a believer and she's a believer, but it's a difficult life they walk. An incredible privilege of sitting with a man who has profiled all over the world. At a young age, at the age of 15, he got scouted. He didn't even play rugby. By 17, he was in the junior box. By 21, he's a world champion. He won the World Cup. His life got turned upside down, and God has poured out grace upon his life. And I got to sit with him and speak. We got to engage, and I got to do their wedding yesterday. I'm not boasting. I just want to share. You know, when I left Durban, and I said it this morning, I left relationships, I left influence, I left years of building into marketplace, and that, and you kind of go, well, God, that's done. I'm going to start again. And all of a sudden, I'm at a wedding, and I'm spending time talking to these Springbok rugby players about God. Honestly, I spent half an hour speaking to one of the Stormers rugby players, because we know they need it. Don't know about the Sharks, but the Stormers, they need it. But I'm talking to one of the Stormers rugby players, not about rugby, and not about anything to do with rugby, but about the King of Kings and the Lord. I was like, God, I couldn't do this. I couldn't weasel my way in here and invite to the, I can't do this. But just because you are incredibly good and because you are so committed to your glory, you do stuff like this. You know what is even more overwhelming? Is I spent 2.5 hours with a couple of phone calls. He did a speech of about 12 minutes. He spent 2.5 minutes honoring Candace and I and the role we played. I'm like, but I've known you for 3 days. Because I said to him, I said, you know what? I can't tell you about a great marriage, but I can tell you I'll always be there if you phone. And he gets up in front of all these Spring Rollers and says, you know, Mark said to him, I can phone him from anywhere in the world. If I'm playing rugby in Japan or England or anywhere, I can phone and they'll come running. And it's true, I will. Because I believe in marriage because God designed it. God planned it. And I don't know why I share that story, but God's just really good. I got to engage with these people. I woke up this morning, I was like, God, that was so cool. It was like, I got to meet some really cool guys, got to have fun with them, and God is really, really kind. Another story, the kindness of God. I was in grade 1, I was a very bad asthmatic. And so God had a plan, and he moved me to a little school called Kenmore. I had to move from my school because my school had air conditioning. In Durban, schools have air conditioning, otherwise kids expire. But I was so badly asthmatic, I couldn't handle air conditioning. So I had to go to a school that didn't have air conditioning. Do you have air con? Ooh. Can't come here. And I went to a little school that had 9 boys and 1 girl in my grade. I got to dedicate one of my best friends from class 1. We were at school together from class 1 to matric. We competed in sport. We were the best of friends and the worst of enemies on the sports field. I got to dedicate his child today. In front of his parents, in front of his grandparents, who I've known for 30 years. God is very kind. I moved to Cape Town to an area we'd lost contact for about 5 years. I move here, he says, I've seen you on Facebook, you're moving, I live up the road. They come to this church now. And I get to dedicate one of my best friend's kids. God's just kind. And this series is about him. It's not about doing community well. It's not about us saying as a church, we got together as an eldership, guys, how do we get these oaks doing community? It's not that. We want to live for him. So, and I think there's nothing more powerful than a community where his life and where the walls are coming down and generosity is flowing, not because someone got up and, come on, give, guys. Give blankets to the poor. And we respond out of some guilt. But we just go, hey, you know what? We want to love the city and God loves the city. So can we be generous? Can we give? Honestly, that blanket job, I think we should give. Don't find out how much one blanket is. Just ask God, what must I give? And let's give it away. This is not coming to the church. It's going through vehicles that God's established into the communities that need it. And I want to be a part of that community. And in the series, we do want to challenge some stuff. When Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, when he wrote the book of Colossians, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he was writing to address issues within communities, within cities. He wasn't writing to one person. There's no guy called Corinth. It's a place. No, I mean that. Some guys don't know that. Ephesians is not a person. It's a place. A place that has a whole bunch of people. And so we want to do a series where God takes us and he deals with us as a people. Because the Bible says we weren't a people, but now he's made us a people. And this series is to challenge individualism. Because the Bible ongoingly says, let us. So it smacks individualism that is rampant in our age. And everyone says, live for yourself, live for your dreams, carry on. And if anyone gets in the way, ride over them, squash them, get over them, get bigger. Deals with glass box Christianity, and I mentioned some of these this morning. I'm going to do a whole different thing now, but it's where I've got this glass box around me, and I'm immunized from the world because I'm in my glass box, but I got my Bible. It's me and my Holy Spirit and my Savior. Rubbish! Rubbish! That is not the gospel. The gospel is when I'm with the poor and I'm with the rich. And the poor are teaching the rich about generosity. That is the gospel. That is the life of God that no man can explain and no one can rationalize. But it's the life of God that comes in when He breaks out. I was rather strong on that point, but I'm quite passionate about it. Country club Christianity. It's like, I'm going to pop in this week and 6 weeks later, like, why'd no one phone me? And I'm, well, you're not in, really. You deposit something from miles away and you think that you've got to give yourself. Means you've got to trust. Means you've got to open up. Means we've got to do this stuff together. Consumerism. Here's a big one. You know what? Mark's consumerism. It's all about complaints. It's, hello, Peter, I'm on there and I'm complaining. Because I have a right as a consumer. And I take no ownership because I'm just a customer. Oh, I'm not the church. Oh, the church has hurt me. No, really? The church is made up of believers. I thought you were part of the church. And the Bible says that's a crazy notion. It's like the toe shouting at the finger. What are you doing? They're part of the same body. We've got to settle some of these things. And we're always looking for a bargain in consumer. I love a bargain, man. Flip, I love a bargain. That's the one thing of Durban that runs right through me. It's like Durban has put bargain in me, like deep down. I love a bargain. But we come to the church and we're looking for a bargain. How do I get a quick truth? Quick truth. I don't want to pay any price. I just want a quick truth. How do I get a quick transformation? This addiction I'm struggling with. Give me the quick one. There's no quick one, buddy. Your greatest transformation is not some visiting preacher, is not some conference you can run off to, and not some circuit system you can jump onto. Your greatest transformation might be sitting in front of you if you haven't met them yet. It might be the person you looked at and said, hello, good looking. Because the Spirit of God is inside of them. And as we fellowship together, we're in the ship, and the ship is Jesus. We're just the fellows in the ship. It's very simple. I want to do this thing, community. I want to do it well. That we would be known by our love. That the mark of the believer is they love each other. I mean, no, really, bro, you must see them. They love each other. What does that mean? Well, the one oak says to the other guy, hey, but I saw you talk to the wife the other day and you weren't gracious with her. I'm just telling you, I don't think that's helpful for your marriage. And he went back and says, thank you. No, they didn't. You can't say that to anyone. No, they love each other. They really do. And the one guy, they had a baby. So these other people brought them meals for weeks. Yeah, but someone must have told them they had to do that. Otherwise, they're out the church. No, they love each other. It's not complicated. It's actually incredibly simple. And the Western world has lost it years ago, and we've got to fight back that we take back the new normal of the gospel and not the new normal of culture, which determines a way of doing community that is not a biblical way of doing community at all. Facebook won't teach you to do community. Ha ha, poke, poke, happy, happy. Ha, oh, unfriend, unfollow. Oh, hey, we mates, I follow you on Twitter, bro. We tight. Talking to JP, and he said, actually, he's this actually very introverted young man. He has every reason to be arrogant. I've never met a more humble man. He says, and he gets these tweets from guys off the game. You stupid idiot. Like, but you don't even know me. He's 29 years old. He's giving his best. He just happened to be in a one in a million story. And he's got these oaks shouting from afar. We live in a world of a million experts, apparently, who have opinions, but very few real experts. We've got to be careful, church. We've got to be careful. We've got to call ourselves to a standard that His standard. And I want to call us to be a church tonight, a church that carries in love to Jesus. But before I do that, I'd love to show us a video. Anita, could we switch that on? It's a video of a friend of mine. And you might see some interesting rugby teams in it. Do we have some sound? And Stormers are getting punished again. Sharks are moving forward. Look at them go. I'm just going to give us some commentary while we go. There we go. 10-6 to the Sharks. Looking good. Come on, boys. Come. Stand up. Oh, the beastie. Look at him go. And. Can we show that last little thing one more time if possible?
I know it's going to be awkward. Yeah, that's it. Just freeze it there. If we can have the lights on again, that's okay. That man at the bottom there, his name is Tendai Mtawarira, had the privilege of doing his wedding 5 years ago. I met him about 10 years ago when he used to cycle a bicycle to church and sing in the choir. And I turned around one day and the lowest voice I've ever heard in my life, I said, "Bro, you have a very low voice." He said, "I know." And one day he came to me, he says, "Hey, VP, Dick wants to move me to prop. I don't want to be a prop." I said, "At best, if Dick wants to move you to prop, go to prop." Next minute he's in the World Cup team. He's lived a life of favor and grace upon his life. But that's not the issue. The issue is that moment. The church that can carry. You know what strength it takes? Anton Breslau is 125 kgs. He jumped in the air and he went back for the ball. But he knew his friend would be there. He knew it. He says, "I can lean back and I can catch it, but because behind me is the beast. And the beast is strong. And the beast stands with full strength as he holds 125 kgs above his head." If anyone has ever tried that, it is ridiculous. It's not like holding a weight either, because it's moving. It's a human being. And even the opposition was standing there going, "Oh my gosh." Actually, let's have a Travis. I mean, honestly, Travis standing up here and he's like, "Hey, I'm worked out." Do you reckon you could pull that off, buddy?
With you, maybe.
Oh, you reckon? I'm not 125 kgs. Do we have any 125 kgs? Sit down, buddy. Sit down. I don't want a lawsuit right now. But I remember watching that game. You know what? It happened twice in the same game. Anyone remember? Twice. With Anton Breslau, twice in the same game. He jumped up and the ball went back and Beast held him. The church that carries. There are just so many amazing things in here. It's one thing, and there's two important parts. In the church that carries, we will both be the catcher, the one who carries, and we will be the one to jump. They're two vitally important roles. In your journey in any community, there's going to be a moment you've got to jump. And you've got to just trust that someone's going to hold you. And sometimes you got to be the one to trust. Chris Vinan taught us since I was young. He said, you grow up in maturity. At first you get saved and you need people. Teach me, what's Mark, Luke, and John? Who are they? Why are they in the Bible? Good question. So you sit and you need people at that level. You grow up a bit and you know a little bit, but you still need people. Eventually you can stand and you can look after yourself and eventually you can hold others. It's called maturing. It's called becoming strong. It's called growing up and getting over your immature ways that you need to be spoon-fed like a baby. And there are too many 30-year-old babies with nappies on in the churches of the world being fed purity because they don't want to grow up. Just being honest. And so the church gets this imbalance. And we've got too many people jumping and no one to carry anymore. And we're saying, "Oh, the church lets us down, the church lets us down." We've got to get to the model of church. I want to tell you some stories about the times I've had to carry and the times I've been caught. I'll tell you once when I was caught, and I've told this story before. His name was Becky. He was in my life group. He worked at a cake factory. And it was my birthday. And we invited friends to a dinner. Becky didn't have a car, so Becky walked 5 kilometers carrying a cake he bought for 80 Rand. He earned 70 Rand a day at the time to bring a cake to me. He couldn't afford the meal. Fortunately, someone paid for the meal. You know who I was in that story? I was the guy jumping. And Becky was the one catching me. As I realized, God is incredibly amazing. He would use a man with much less means than myself to teach me something about the generosity of the Father in heaven. And I was the one jumping, and I was the one falling. You see, if Beast had dropped him there, he could have broken his neck. He could have been paralyzed. His career would have been over. If he had dropped him there and landed on his head, that is the end. But he didn't drop him because he knew the beast was there. Becky held me. Remember waiting at RJ's? It was a real low time in my life. My parents had been liquidated. I have absolutely nothing. And a guy came in from Glenridge because he knew I was waiting there. It was my first shift. And I told him, I'm starting to waiter. And he knew what had happened. He knew I was on pressure. He ordered a meal for 30 Rand. This is a long time ago. So 30 Rand was what you paid for a meal. He left me a 50 Rand tip. You know who I was? I was the guy jumping. Because without that guy, I don't know if I would have the courage to carry on. Just keep moving forward. I want to tell you, we met a couple. Candace and I had just been married. We just bought a place. And the builder says it'll take 2 months. So stupidly, you believe him. And it ends up taking 5 months. And you're 3 months without accommodation. And a couple you've never met. You've just met. From a different culture. Completely different culture and completely different background. Say, well, come live with us. And we wanted to pay rent. They said, no, don't pay rent. Just you're building and your place. Just live with us. They became our best friends. I was the one jumping. Remember Bruce Dixon? He was a red-headed man, short and fiery. And one day he gave me a very strong rebuke when I was still at school. I remember exactly what he said. And I promise you, he was right. And it's helped me. It was about curbing this thing that had worked its way. I was a wicked creeper all my life, and I was a scrum off. Not because of my skills, but because of this thing. I'd learned how to use my mouth in negative ways. Remember paying with a friend of mine. His name's Graham Tedder. Maybe he'll come here one day. And they got the awful news that their child would die as it was born. And every doctor said, abort, abort, abort. And we prayed. And that time I got to lift him up. Because in his moment of weakness, he almost aborted. But we got together around and said, we'll pray. And we'll keep praying. And you know what? Whatever happens, God is good. And Ryder Tedder was born. And Ryder Tedder lived for 1 hour and 15 minutes. And Ryder Tedder had photos with his mother. They got to breathe his breath. They got to hold him, and then he went to be with Jesus. But in that scenario, I got to hold. There's a little lady named Jeannie Holloway in Glenridge. We were under pressure. We were new parents with two small kids, and we didn't know what we were doing, and we were struggling. My wife was tired. And Mel Dyer said, pray for someone to help you. So we thought, well, that sounds like a super spiritual thing to do. Let's do it. And we prayed. And the little single lady whose husband had left her, her only daughter just got married and moved out of home, and she was lonely, arrived on our doorstep and said, you don't know me, but can I help you with your children? And I was the pastor, I was the elder, but she was the one holding us up. And she would come to our home after work and just take our kids when we needed a gap. The church is full of these stories. That is the church. When it's operating well, that is the church. When it's above egos and it's above situations and it's above those things. When we are strong, we jump because we trust. And the problem is we live in a trust-deficient world with trust-deficient people. And our first response is not to trust. And you've got to earn my trust. But I go to the gospel and that's not the story. I trust Jesus. And because Jesus isn't Wally Hart, I trust Jesus so I can trust Wally. You know why I could get married at 24 years old? It's not because the marriage statistics were turning around. They weren't. It's not because relationships all around me are working out. They weren't. It's because my wife was so devoted to Jesus more than she was to me. And she knows it's the same with me. That I could marry at a young age because Jesus was in the mix. And I stand with this young couple, JP and Mega Peace, and have the world in front of them. And I say, the greatest head start you have is Jesus. It's not winning the next World Cup. It's not the millions that'll follow. It's Jesus and only Jesus. And I said that in front of the whole Springbok rugby team. It's got nothing to do with anything else but Jesus. See, I've been the holder and I've been held. And we know the story in Mark 2, and I'm not going to preach long about it. But four guys have their friend. And he's crippled. And they lower him down into Jesus. And who's heard of the Pareto principle? I spoke about it this morning. He's been studying. The 80-20 principle, you heard of that? It's also called the law of vital few and the principle of factor sparsity. That's when roughly 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. We live in that world. It's like 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your customers. It's a business principle. The problem is we brought that into the church. It's been imported and allowed to come into the church where 20% are doing the work and creating 80% of the value. I'm just being honest. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church. Where you've got one guy who does all the ministry and everyone comes to, oh, he's so amazing. And it's rubbish. Because the Bible says you are a royal priesthood. You are a priesthood of all believers. You have been anointed with the Spirit of God. You have. And Jesus gives us a story in his word. He gives us a truth where a man is lowered. It's not a story, it happened. A crippled, broken person is lowered. Four people lower the one. Let's do the maths. Four and one. 100%. 80% carry the weight. 20% get lowered to Jesus. And the world has flipped that on its head and said, 20% carry the weight and 80 are just going to come. We want consumerism church. Honestly, if you want the best preaching in the world, you're at the wrong church. Just being honest. This isn't a preaching center. We want to do life together. We want to take a community that will impact the world and see change and transformation come. And we'll give the preach our best go, I promise you. But we cannot come under a world culture. That's the Pareto principle where we'll leave it up to the 20. Wally's the evangelist. We'll let Wally go get the lost. And when they bring him, I like loving them. No, Paul writes to Timothy, says, Timothy, mommy's boy Timothy, crybaby Timothy, become an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Timothy's like, okay. And what does it look like? What does it look like? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's treasured possession. You know what it looks like? It looks like friendship. And I'm just going to run through some of these things. I'll be finished in 2 minutes. Radical friendship. The Quakers. Have you heard of the Quakers? Impacted the world. Nestle, Cadbury's. They all came from the Quakers. They were known as the religious society of friends. They were friends who met in pubs and started drinking hot chocolate. Came because Christians didn't want to drink the booze in the pubs. So they came up with an idea called hot chocolate. They were just friends. That's where Cadbury's came from. I want to do that stuff with my friends. Transform the world. See businesses that can bring transformation to society. Relationship, where we bear with one another. We forgive one another. We have no vain conceit. We think less of ourselves. We are humble. It's called relationship. Philippians 2. There's fellowship, partnership, stewardship, sonship, worship, ownership. We take ownership of the story. This is not Mark's church or the elders' church or the leaders' church. This is my community. Can we become a community that carries people to Jesus? If Beast had dropped Anton Breslau there, Anton Breslau, who's now praying in France, earning millions of rands, in that moment, we don't know, but if Beast had dropped him on his head, he could be sitting in a wheelchair. Some people God's called us to carry, to catch, to carry, and to bring them down safely. Not the 20%, the 80%. That's the formula I see in the Bible. Priesthood of all believers. Can we flip that on its head? Can we get rid of hierarchical thinking? Or Mark's the preacher? Honestly, the Bible hates that stuff. The only head is Jesus. We play different parts. One body, many parts. I do not see myself as high as anyone in this community. I'm not. Not biblically, anyway. Can we make sure that we are safe hands to catch and to carry the lost? And can we make sure there's always space in our hearts for this story called the gospel? It's not about one church, one story, one life changer sign on the wall. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That'll catch the broken when they're about to fall. Hopefully before they get broken. We make the phone calls the Spirit of God leads us to make. I've told this story here before, but it's the last story. I was 22 years old, burning with desire for this amazing Candace I had met. I was studying my MBA. It means I only saw her after 9:30 at night. It's the only time we could see each other. Because every night I had studies, and she worked all day, and I worked. And one night I was there a little bit late, 1:30 in the morning. And we were just talking, honestly. But you know what? Deep inside of me, there was something that wanted to do more than talking. Someone enjoyed that. And I got a phone call. My car was parked on Manning Road. Now, if you know Durban, it's quite a popular road. I got a phone call from a friend of mine named Rick Thompson, who just happens to be my home group leader. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, you think about it, like, has he seen my car? Does he know where I am? And I said, "I'm at Candace's house." He said, "Get in your car and go home." Okay. Not because he was my home group leader, because I knew he loved me. And who knows what he stopped that night? Who knows what God protected? Today I'm married to that lady. I can honestly say we never slept together by the grace of God. We dated for 4 years. But that phone call might have stopped a train wreck. And I want to be those people. Not some system, clock in, touch in, and maybe someone will give you a call. Just where it happens because there's life, because there's Jesus. Can we close our eyes, please? Maybe in the last story, maybe you're crying out for something like that. The feast of community is Jesus. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that in the series, but I'm going to keep saying it. If you haven't received the love of Jesus, I'd love to offer you the feast tonight that is Jesus. If you're here and you're saying, "I haven't received that love, I haven't given my life to Jesus," won't you just give me a wave? I'd love to pray with you. You are that important that we would stop this whole meeting just to pray for you. Is there anyone here tonight? That's cool. Jesus, thank you that you are a feast and you are glorious. And I don't know which story would have touched a heart tonight, or the worship and the strum of a guitar. But I pray do something that is so deep down inside of the DNA of this community, that we would represent you well, that we would be marked by your love, God. That people wouldn't talk about the sign on the wall, they wouldn't talk about the things we do, they would talk about the love in this place for the broken. That this place is safe hands. Safe hands for the broken. Safe hands for the struggling marriages. Safe hands for the broken stories. Safe hands, God. That when people jump here, they'll be safe. I pray, God, let that be in this community. Because I believe that would be the greatest sign and wonder to this world we could ever be. We worship you, King.